StartupRad.io, your podcast and YouTube blog covering the German startup scene with news, interviews, and live events.
Hello and welcome, everybody. This is Joe from StartupRad.io, your startup podcast and YouTube blog from Germany, as well as the world's first internet radio station dedicated to startups and tech companies. Today, I would like to welcome you to a new mini-series together with the German Startup Association. We try to bring you an interview with each and every winner of the German Startup Awards 2021. As you can already guess, I do have a winner here. Hey, Henrike, how you doing?
Hello, hello. Hello to all the listeners out there. I'm doing well today, actually. It's quite a nice day out and looking forward to having this conversation with you, Jörn.
I'm looking forward to it as well. We may tell our listeners that you're here because you're the Female Entrepreneur of the Year in the German Startup Awards 2021. Congratulations. Let us first...
Social Entrepreneur of the Year, which is quite exciting.
Social Entrepreneur. I'm so sorry. Social Entrepreneur of the Year, German Startup Awards 2021. I'm so sorry. But before we get into why you won that award, let us talk a little bit about what you've been doing. As the listeners already can tell, you have a slight UK accent in your English and you went to university in London. How did you end up there?
That was definitely quite a ride. So I spent some time in the UK when I was 15, 16, and I kind of fell in love with the country. And then I came back to Germany and I did my IB International Baccalaureate at a German state school. So I also took the normal German Abitur. And then I really wanted to go back to the UK and I applied to a broad range of different universities. What I knew back then is that I wanted to study mathematics, which is not quite the usual thing to study, I guess. But I always really liked maths. So I applied to different universities, ended up at UCL, and really loved my time at UCL. It was, I think UCL has about 130 different nationalities, so it's a very, very international crowd, and I really enjoyed my 4 years in London.
I'm seeing here on your LinkedIn profile, as everybody else can do, because your LinkedIn profile will be linked down here, mathematics with modern languages. That is quite a combination. Why did you choose to do that?
Well, so I my main focus was on maths and pure maths, but I also took classes in Spanish and French, and I do think that maths and languages are in a way related. Like, maths is a universal language, right? Like, it's a way of expressing in a very precise way definition, proofs, concepts, ideas, and obviously French and Spanish are also languages, and it's kind of key to for me, I guess it's different ways of communicating with people, and languages have always been very very dear to my heart, and it's always interesting to learn new languages and forms of communication.
I got a challenge for you. What is your most favorite word? Because for me in Spanish, when I was studying Spanish, that I used later on in college in Texas quite extensively, when I took an afternoon nap, I told my roommates, una horita. It's the cuteness form of 1 hour. What would be your favorite word in Spanish and French?
Oh my God, that's such a difficult question.
We don't do the easy questions here. Sorry.
You definitely don't do the easy questions. What I was just thinking of is I like words that usually come from one language, but then are just taken over into another language, like Zeitgeist, and those words that are actually German,
but then Weltschmerz. Schadenfreude.
I think those words are quite interesting because you just take it from another language and then use it in a new language because there's no real translation for it. So I think that's quite interesting word.
So what are your favorite words?
Oh, if I have to say something, then
In French, it would be for me croissant.
croissant baguette.
I think I'm going to really enjoy this interview.
You will. Oh my God, I'm trying to think of like beautiful words. I think it's. I'm thinking of like the different words for l'été, the summer, or I think you know French language in general is quite a beautiful. A beautiful language. So definitely way more beautiful than German. Just from the sheer sound of it.
Uh-huh. So you've been a math crack studying modern languages, and then you ended up as a consultant with BCG. When did you decide to go for consulting, and what did you learn there?
I mean, studying math at a British university, you don't get to see many different job opportunities and opportunities, yes, but different career paths and choice. So I guess what is being portrayed to you is mainly, hey, you can work in investment banking, you can work in consulting, you can work in insurance, and maybe you can go into one of the big four. Like KPMG, PwC, but that's essentially it. And these are the companies, you know, that get invited to university. And so I would say, so that's kind of what it felt like, of what the range was. So I as you said earlier, I had a quick look into one of the investment banks, knew that that's definitely not the way that I wanted to go into, or the career path that I wanted to follow. And then decided go into consulting. Actually, right after university, I took a year out and kind of looked into different things and worked for a staff for a little bit and to really broaden my horizon a little bit, worked for a small-sized company in Frankfurt and then interned with BCG and then ended up there for almost 3 years doing various consulting projects. And it was a very, very intense and interesting time. I mean, BCG is a very vibrant place, right? With a lot of really young talent, very ambitious and driven people. You get to see lots of different industries. I was lucky as, you know, I was with the BCG Digital Ventures project as well. It's a subpart of BCG where they build startups. For a longer project, so that was really quite interesting. We looked into the fintech world, and but in the end, I had a feeling that, you know, as society, we're actually facing some big challenges, and climate change is obviously just one. There's lots of other challenges like mental health crisis that we're in at the moment. You know. The divide between the rich and the poor that is deepening and so on and so forth. So it's like, you know, there is so much talent here, yet these people are not working on some of the biggest challenges of our times. And isn't that something that we should change? Isn't that something that we need? Shouldn't we build a place where all of these people can come together, where we bundle resources, where we bundle expertise? Opportunities, networks, to really start thinking and working on some of the biggest challenges that we face as society.
And when did you decide that, when you got from a consulting gig back like at 2 a.m. in the morning and fell onto your bed and thought, I could do differently? Or was it you've been so thrilled by consulting and thought, oh, I learned everything, now I have to go on?
It's always a process, I want to say. So, I mean, there are those moments where you think like, hey, I definitely want to get out of this. I want to do something new. I want to be crazy. These moments definitely exist, but it's always something that has to develop and come up. And obviously you have to sharpen your thoughts as well. So that these were ideas that that I had in mind, and then I actually met up with a university friend of mine and Philip, my co-CEO, and I told him about these ideas, and they said, hey, you know, this is exactly what we what we have in mind as well for Project Together. And yeah, that was the kind of the start for Project Together as it is today.
I understood you've been in consulting. It was a process. You decided to go crazy and rescue the world with Project Together. Was that about it?
Well, you always have to have big visions, missions, ideas when you wanna change something. So that's definitely it. But back then, it all seemed crazy. We just knew, you know, we knew we wanted to do something. We wanted to change something, and you know, now we are here 2.5 years later, and we're still very much at the beginning of the transformation that we'll have to go through as a society over the next few years. But you know, obviously with Project Together, we've made some progress, built up a team, and that's really quite exciting.
We may add for our listeners who are not really seeing this picture and see your name tag, Project Together, it's actually not you call your company Together and you call it a project, but the actual name is projecttogether.org. And how did you come up with the name and what you guys are actually doing there?
So what is maybe one little anecdote? So because you just said it for your listeners, that does happen. The Project Together. So when we were like a few years ago, when we were based in a co-working space, people sometimes were sent up to us because then, you know, at the door they said like, hey, they're here for a project together with, I don't know, XYZ. And then people always thought, oh, they're here for Project Together, and then send them up to us. So that definitely does happen. So what does Project Together do? So essentially what we said is that, hey, you know, as I said earlier, we're facing some of these big challenges, and so many people are talking about the what, like, you know, climate crisis, all of these issues, but very few people are talking about the how do we actually get there, and don't we need like innovation on the process, on the method of how as society we can come up with these bottom-up ideas and then actually implement them. So we've developed a process for that we call open social innovation. And essentially we run massive open social innovation programs where we work with 150, sometimes even now we're working with over 300 solutions around one societal issue. To give you an example, so we take, for example, agriculture and food, and we say like, hey, how can we become climate positive in the agriculture and food space? And it's actually called Farm Food Climate. We started working with Farm Food Climate about a year ago. And we've worked with over 100 different impact initiatives that have, you know, all sorts of ideas of how we can tackle that problem. And what we do is we support them with kind of everything they need, from what we call stipends, so money, to expertise, contacts into the public sphere, but also companies, organizations. We connect the startups amongst themselves, and we really build a community and an ecosystem around those challenges. And we bundle together, you know, similar ideas, partners that want to support these, because we really believe that it's not just one idea that can solve these big challenges, but it's always a cluster, an ecosystem of ideas, partners, networks that can do that.
I would be a little bit curious how you get those projects started, because you said you're working in open, how did you call it,
open social innovation is
open
what we call the
social innovation project. You work together with hundreds of counterparts, and I do believe your process is pretty good, but not one person can handle it. You need like a handful of people for that. And where did it come up with the initial problem, and how did you find the startups that are then working on this?
Mm-hmm. So how do we come up with the problem? We're constantly learning as well and trying out new things, how we actually do that. So, for example, for Farm for Climate that I just mentioned, we actually had a 3-month process where we ran weekly open discussion forums and dialogues and invited all sorts of experts, citizens, farmers to come and discuss with us what were the biggest problems in the space. And you know, sometimes we set a theme for a call and then kind of dived a little bit deeper there. So yeah, it was really a 3-month open dialogue to understand the field and the space. For what is now called Update Deutschland, Update Germany, a new program that started in March. We did a completely different process, which was also really interesting. We had an open call for challenges. So people from, you know, from the public sphere, citizens, civil society organizations, they were all asked to hand in different challenges, like concrete challenges that they were facing. We got over 600 different challenges and then kind of clustered them and saw where in Germany are similar challenges that need to be tackled. So that was very much an open, a bottom-up, open process of how we came up with the challenges that were then, that are now being tackled in the programs.
Ah, too bad if I didn't know about this. I think I could have contributed at least 30 or 40 challenges.
You should have. Maybe to give a third example that some of your listeners might have heard of. So last year we organized a Wir versus Virus hackathon, or Wir versus Virus. And obviously the support program, the 6-month support program afterwards as well. But the hackathon we organized together with 7 other civil society organizations, and there we had the big challenge, like how are we going to solve all of these problems that are now arising with COVID. And it was within the first week of the lockdown, and we literally just posted it out there, and we got over 2,000 challenges back for the hackathon. So within 2 days, which was quite interesting back then, and then just posted the entire list of challenges for the hackathon.
I would be now curious about two things. First, who can approach you with challenges? What way, and how do you fund actually the working on those challenges?
Mm-hmm. So for different programs, as I just said, or gave you different examples, it kind of depends on the process. For Update Germany, essentially everybody, all kinds of citizens, civil society organizations could come up and contribute challenges. So we're really quite open there. How do we then work on these, and how do we fund ourselves? So how do we work on these is you know, we choose 100, 150 with Update Germany. It's more than 300 initiatives, impact startups, organizations that we're now working with and that are at the core of that community. And we support them with voluntary coaches, experts, organizations that contribute resources and all sorts of things. And then obviously for every program, we have partners to help us finance this. That can be organizations and companies, and or it's foundations, and they kind of sponsor the, you know, the work that goes into it from our side, and the operational costs behind it.
Mm-hmm. And for the people, the organizations, the impact startups, the social startups, the whoever helps to solve those challenges, how do you find them, and what can they expect from a corporation?
So these impact initiatives, impact startups, organizations that we support, we literally have an open call for applications. So you know, once we've found the challenge, we say like, hey, who has an idea of how we can tackle this? And, you know, they can be very, very early stage. So you only need like a team and an idea to join. Or you can be a little bit further along the lines and already have a concept or a proven concept for something that fits the challenge. And for, you know, Wir versus Virus and Update Germany, it was also possible for people without an idea or without a team to join, because we had these, you know, starting points, these hackathon-like weekends. It was a 48-hour starting sprint where all of the people who wanted to contribute came together and discussed challenges, discussed ideas. It was it was a weekend in March where 5,000 people came together digitally online, and the 600 people who contributed challenges, they gave a little bit of context around their challenges, and then people started ideating on the ideas. A lot of people brought existing initiatives and ideas, and then people could either join initiative or start a new one, lots of new ideas also came out of that weekend. So it's either, you know, you have an idea and you know, build up on it, and you're a little bit further along the line, or you have no idea, no team, and you join one of those weekends and start ideating.
That would have been my question, if I could have just joined you as a team of me and my cat. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Of course, if you want to do something around cats, then that could be a great teammate.
Okay.
Not sure how well your cat is handling Excel spreadsheets and PowerPoint presentations and things like that.
Just awesome. Walks across the keyboard. Everything's totally fine. Hmm? Yeah. Sometimes even something interesting comes up there. We've been now talking what Project Together is. Some of your projects. People know down here in the show notes they can learn more. And is there a special project you've been receiving the award for, or was it just that you and Project Together are awesome?
I guess you have to ask the jury, and it's I guess one thing that is very important to me is that, obviously, you know, I was the one who held the trophy and, you know, said thank you for the award, but it's actually lots of people out there, the entire Project Together community, all of the other civil society organizations that we work with, the entire team. You know, so many people have put so much effort into what Project Together is today, all of our volunteers. So this award is definitely belongs as much to them as it belongs to me. And that's really what, you know, what is also part of our name, right? It's Project Together. We will not be able to solve these challenges alone. Only if we come together as society, develop our ideas bottom up together, start supporting each other, start thinking in networks and clusters and support system, rather than competition and single ideas and pushing single ideas. I guess that's also part of you know, what this award kind of. Or I hope that's kind of what the support, that the award wants to underline or give credit to.
When you've been talking about it belongs to all the people working on Project Together, I was wondering, you're keeping the award somewhere in the office where everybody can see and touch it?
Not yet, because I haven't really been back to the office yet, right? Because of Corona, we're in home office and lockdown, but I will, yeah. We'll definitely keep it on.
You tweet us a picture?
Sure, yeah. I'm not as much on Twitter, but I'll try and do that.
We take Instagram as well, don't worry. there would be quite a lot more to talk about, but we're now running approximately at 25 minutes with our recording. I'd like to thank you very much, deutschestartups.org, for making this interview possible. And everybody who'd like to learn more, of course, go down here in the show notes. There will be at least a link to our blog post, or go to www.startuprate.io/blog, and there you'll find the interview of Henrike and all the other award winners we can get our hands on. And there you find all the links leading to Project Together, Update Deutschland. It was Update Deutschland, right?
Yeah.
Two languages combined. I want to say Update Germany, but no, it's Update Deutschland. Wir versus virus, your LinkedIn profile, and everything else. Thank you very much. It was just a pleasure having you as a guest.
Thank you very much.
If you are a professional looking at the European startup scene, Germany is a place you cannot miss. Fortunately for you, there is startuprad.io, the authority on German startups. This English-only podcast brings you fresh interviews each week. Most likely, you have never heard or read anything on these startups before in English, but you will in the future. Be ahead of the curve and subscribe to startuprad.io podcast, or check for the startuprad.io internet radio station. Check your Alexa for the startuprad.io skill as well.